Welcome to the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with your host, A.P. Fuchs. Stories of intrigue, stories of horror, stories of superheroics, stories of monsters. Get ready, the thrill ride begins. Welcome back to another episode of the Realm of Heroes and Monsters Storytime with me, your host, A.P. Fuchs. And as you can see, I got the big puffy winter beard going on. It's January, late January, it's cold outside, snow is everywhere. And in here in Manitoba, Canada, we grow beards thick and good so that when we go outside to shovel the driveway and whatever else, our face keeps warm. And if you're a guy listening to this, you know full well that if you have a beard and then it comes time to shave it clean, you certainly feel the effects of the wind on your chin when you hit outside for the first time. It's kind of a weird feeling. You feel like really bizarrely naked. It's strange. Anyway, that's what's happening on the facial hair front, as if anyone cares. But welcome to the episode. We got a good one coming up. We got a great story, of course. And then, of course, the story before the story, which you're about to hear, is going to cover an interesting little aspect on how stories are part of our lives year-round, 24/7. Stay tuned. Here it comes. Welcome to Story Before the Story, where this season we're exploring on a topical basis how stories play into our lives 24/7, 365. Or, like I say, 366 on a leap year. So the bottom line is, up to this point in the podcast, we've been talking about sort of stories as a whole, like stories in general, like a tale, and how that fits into your everyday life. But what we haven't talked about is characters. What about that, right? So this part is going to be about you as a character in your own life. And this is true, because think about it for a second, all right? Let's take your average life. Average life. Right? Person gets up in the morning, they're a certain person at home, right? They get themselves ready for work, they go to work, and they're a certain type of person at work to get the job done, to adhere to policies and politeness and all the rest that are required at the office. And then they come home, and then they're their home selves again. And then they go to bed, and then when you're sleeping, well, basically your dream self, because you're dreaming and you're dealing with that, right? So here's the point. Things happen in life that end up creating these different characters within us, right? And it causes us, through experience and learning, to act in a certain way or talk in a certain way for a particular circumstance. It could be a great circumstance, it could be an utterly horrible circumstance. Regardless, it teaches us to become these sort of different characters for these different moments and these different ideas and these different things that happen. And that's It's interesting, because if you approach your life kind of like in an organized fashion in that respect, you know, your character A for this type of situation, your character B for, let's say, work situation, character C for, say, a tragic situation, and so on. Like, it's something that we do both voluntarily and involuntarily, right? We do it voluntarily, like in the case of, say, we're going to a funeral. Of course, we're going to be a certain type of person at that funeral to show respect and all the rest that goes with it, right? But at the same time, we're going to be a different person if we're going out to the bar and having a few beers with our buddies. So we do this all the time, is we are these different people during these different circumstances. Seldom would you, you know, outside of being, say, drunk out of your face, you know, are you going to be somebody else in a certain situation, right? So that's what I find fascinating, is that people in and of themselves are comprised of all these various characters that we have to play in order to get through life. We have to, I mean, they might, it's just really interesting. Think about it for a second. Like, you are more than one person. Yes, you are you as a whole, but in you are all these different people in terms of these different characters that you've developed over the years to go through life. So that's one angle I would like you to consider, is your character. And when people say, you know, like circumstances and things that happen build character and whatnot, well, to a degree, it you know, that's completely true. But the question is, what kind of character is that building, right? And notice too, it's character singular, not character plural, where I just stated we're actually characters plural. So what's kind of cool is, yeah, when these circumstances come along and we have to do a test of character, we come across kind of awkward, kind of weird at first because we're trying to find this character, but once we find it, we're able to deal with whatever it is that is occurring. So it does indeed build character, I guess you could say, or create a character. But in truth, you yourself are like multiple characters in one. And if you want to say combine those characters into like, let's like, you know, like how Power Rangers, all the Zords combine and they become one, that's kind of you. You're these different Zords and they can come together to become one, which becomes your overall character. So your overall character is actually comprised of several characters. So anyway, that's all it is I wanted to say about story before the story is the character side. Folks, we're all characters in a play. What stage you're on dictates what type of character you're going to be for that particular moment in time. So have fun with it, be good with it, and that's pretty much it. Thanks for listening to this little casual bit on characters in life. So now, enough of that stuff. Listen to other characters in the story to come. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Blood Angel. Joey St. Clair, the Joey St. Clair, let the blood flow freely from the vertical slits in his wrists as he sat against the bathroom wall. The light bulb flickered. The blood-stained razor blade sat on the tiled floor beside him. The warmth of hot blood ran down his palms, tickled his fingers. 36 million albums sold. He had all the money in the world. But it didn't matter. It didn't alleviate the pain inside. People cheered for him. Girls threw themselves at him. The stage was his. Thrills, adrenaline, worship. On stage, he was alive, but only on the outside. Inside, he burned and cried. He never got over losing his mom to a house fire when he was 8, never got over his uncle beating him just because he couldn't have a son of his own, never got over true love and having his heart destroyed 4 times over. Never got over the fact no one seemed to recognize the hero on stage was just a lonely young adult crying out, his music and lyrics a display of a broken heart. Blood pooled around him. Joey closed his eyes and waited for his forever sleep to come. A bright light shining through his eyelids jolted him out of his stupor. A man with lightning for eyes and giant white wings dripping with sparkling crimson blood stood before him. The blood dissolved into nothing just before it hit the floor. "Joey," he said. His voice was calm but carried an undertone of thunder. Half asleep from the blood loss, Joey could merely acknowledge this otherly worldly presence. If he had the energy, his heart would no doubt be galloping and he'd bolt from the room. Joey studied the man's shining armor, silver splashed with blood, and a belt made of gold with a longsword hanging from the sheath. "Joey," the man said again. "I'm Joey," he thought. The man held out his hand and Joey felt compelled to take it with trembling fingers. He did, and this man, this blood angel, pulled him to his feet. "Come with me," the blood angel said. He put his arm around Joey and held him tight. Soon, the giant crimson splash wings spread out and their feet left the floor. They flew through the roof as if it wasn't there, and, just before they left the bathroom, Joey took a note of his body still leaning against the bathroom wall, blood growing in a circle around it. "I'm dead," Joey said. "Not dead, just removed." They flew past the roof of the vintage building and entered the night sky. Quickly, they picked up speed and the city below rushed by in a blur. The blood angel still holding him firm, Joey was taken to a run-down house in the suburbs. The two floated down through the roof and were in a living room with a tipped-over couch and a knocked-over lamp. Joey noticed the man and the woman in the room cast long shadows on the wall, but he and the blood angel didn't. The woman beat on the man, punching him in the face and kicking him in the groin. It was clear the man restrained himself from retaliating. "I hate you, I hate you, I hate you," she screamed. Then, softly with tears. I love you. The man's face went soft and he said, I love you too. The blood angel swept Joey up and took him back through the roof. They were in the night sky again, the city once more a blur beneath them. They went to another house and entered through the walls into a kitchen. Don't believe me, the stove is hot, the woman said. The bright red glow from the hot element cast her in a demonic crimson light. I do, I promise, the boy said. He looked no more than 5. I'll show you, she said, and jerked the boy's hand toward the hot element. He resisted, and she slapped him. In his daze, she took his hand and placed it on the burner. His screams drowned out the sizzle of burning flesh. Joey and the Blood Angel were suddenly in the sky again. The world turned into a rushing mosaic, and Joey found himself in another room, this one with walls made of what appeared to be clay. A man stood before another man who was on his knees, a gun pointed at the kneeling man's head. Please, I beg you, spare me, the man on his knees said. The gun went off. Blood and brain splattered the wall behind him. Back in the air, another rush of the world. Then all cleared, and, on the ground, a school bus filled with children singing turned a corner. A second later, a bomb went off within, and their singing turned to screams as the bus ground to a halt. What looked like ISIS raiders streamed out of the surrounding alleyways and swarmed the bus. They entered, and gunshots lit up the bus's interior in a series of flashes. No more, Joey said. The Blood Angel remained silent. They were in the air, then suddenly in a hotel hallway where a young Asian girl was escorted into a room by 2 men twice her size. Somehow he had got a sudden view of her little terrified face, tears welling in her eyes but not spilling out. Joey's head swam, and flashes of machine guns going off filled his vision. Bodies riddled with bullets and bursting open with red holes came next. Dizziness took over, and he doubled forward. The Blood Angel straightened him, and Joey had a vision. A little child, who looked like a skeleton draped in black skin, lay in the street. A vision of another child, similar to the first, took over, and Joey heard the boy's stomach growl with hunger as if the sound came through an amplifier. White skin dripping with blood came next, followed by a strung-out woman hurled to the floor of a dingy bathroom where she proceeded to crawl to the toilet and throw up. Please, stop, Joey said. The angel's wings flapped, but not before sprinkling Joey in blood, the splash from each drop sending an electric tingle through him. The world went a blur. A familiar rooftop appeared beneath his feet. A descent. A bathroom. Joey's body slumped over on the floor. With a sharp gasp, Joey awoke back in his body, the Blood Angel in front of him. Do you understand? The angel asked. Joey looked at his wrists. They were smeared red, but the wounds were closed. He coughed, then threw up. After wiping his mouth, he said, Yeah, you wanted to show me how many have it worse than me. The angel shook his head. Then you do not understand. His lightning eyes grew soft despite their power. It was simply to reveal that others hurt too. Your pain is no more and no less than theirs. They hurt, you hurt, the world hurts. Pain is pain. Earth is a fallen place. You just needed to know you are not alone. You are never alone. The Blood Angel withdrew his sword and raised it high and readied it as if to stab him. Are you going to kill me? Joey asked. The Blood Angel didn't say a word, and in one fluid motion drove the sword into Joey's heart. Instead of pain, energy and strength filled him, and flickering white lightning filled his vision. He found himself on his feet and, though his heartache abated some, it was still there. The sword was in his hand, then faded away. The angel was gone, but the words, "You are not alone," echoed in Joey's ears. Thank you. Back after the credits, as always. This one is a little plug and it's going to be very quick. So, as of this recording, it's late January, and the plan is I will be launching a Kickstarter slash Indiegogo campaign. The ideal is going to be March. Latest is going to be April. I'm at the mercy of, say, Kickstarter, Indiegogo. I'm on their time frame in terms of when they decide to approve and launch the project. But assuming all goes swimmingly, we're shooting for March. And what that Kickstarter is going to be, well, if you're a reader of my newsletter, you know exactly what it's going to be because I haven't yet publicly announced. So what I would like you to do is sign up for the newsletter so you can get the inside scoop. And in the meantime, just look out for a Kickstarter, and I guarantee you that once it launches or even gets hint at and revealed, you're going to be on board because it's something really, really exciting. So get ready. Axie Man is coming.